Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
Hey, I am here. It is Saturday morning. It is actually 6:07 Pacific time in the morning, and CW and I are here to join you. And you are listening to Waking Up in America's Our American Cafe, Dynamic Radio Dialogues on Life Today in America. We want to thank our sponsors, Emergency Management Solutions, also known as EMS Global One, Sir Jason Winter T, and oh my gosh, Protandin. Thank you, Protandin, for keeping us going. We'll be talking more about Protandin and Sir Jason Winter T later in the show, and what we're talking about today on Waking Up in America's Our American Cafe is perception. And one of the things CW and I were describing before and talking about before we got on the air here was, how do you perceive things? And there's a new TV series with Eric McCormick called Perception, and he's a schizophrenic, and it's very interesting to see him. They have one scene of him, CW, where he's standing up on the table with his earphones on conducting classical music. You know, he's having a little break with reality. So, you know, sometimes I think breaks with realities can be kind of fun. What did you think about when we were talking about perception this morning?
Well, there's so many things that go through my mind when it comes to perception. Everybody thinks it's a simple act when you sit and say, well, he perceived that, or she perceived this, or I perceived, or I had this perception. And perception is almost, for me, the definition would almost be like the definition of fear. It's, in many cases, perception is the evidence that's presented to you. And it could be false evidence appearing real. It could be a sensory perception, whether it be an illusion-type perception or hallucination-type perception. But they're all formed based on your senses, environment, and the input, the information that's inputted to create it. And that's why I say it could somewhat be a form of false perception or false reality. Perception is also a form of discernment. There's many things that perception can be identified with. I mean, over the years, we say we perceive something to be, and we could find out we could be 100% wrong. But there are other times we could be 100% right, and it's almost psychic-like.
Well, I have to tell you, it was really funny. I was working with I do occasionally marriage, family, child counseling. And that's what I got licensed at in the early 80s. And I have a situation where I have to almost agree with the kid. Okay. The kid involved, and I won't use the kid's name because I don't want the kid to hear this and get embarrassed, but the kid involved is brilliant, okay? She's a teenager, about 14 years old, and she's on medication because she gets depressed with how her life is, okay? And she really would rather smoke marijuana, okay? You've got to get, and she's got a very straight-laced father and a very expansive mother in this particular realm, okay? And so the kid is, we're in a joint therapy session, and the kid is reading the list of side effects of the particular medication that she's been assigned. And she says, Dad, I just don't get it. She says, I don't understand why I need to take these medications on a regular basis. Medications that have suicide as a side effect, all kinds of illnesses, and they do. Have you ever read those things? They've just got all kinds of side effects. Okay, and she says, and then marijuana has the side effect of, let me see, serotonin.
Yeah, well, mellow. Mellowness. A state of being just mellow.
Yeah.
That's the side effect.
Yeah, that's the side effect. And then you take a look at alcohol, for instance. How many people die every year on alcohol? But the perception is alcohol is somehow safe and marijuana is somehow unsafe. So how many of these things do we live inside of? As far as I know, the people that signed the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence used to grow the stuff, didn't they?
They did. They did do that. And we have the perception that it's unsafe because we've been told it's unsafe. But when you go into it, it's like you said, alcohol or alcoholism produces much more side effects and danger to the human body and society than the typical, I'll just call it the joint. And the reason why we've been, I'm going to give you a perception right now.
Okay.
I believe that it's that way is due to the society we live in, or the rule of authoritative of groups that we have dictate this type of, or has given this type of perception or illusion, because they've never figured out a way how to really make money on it. And so it's been somewhat, they've turned it into a taboo. And I've always believed it's kind of like, remember Tesla?
Yeah.
Nikola Tesla and Edison? You know,
yeah.
They chose, way back then, it was chosen to go with AC current as opposed to Tesla's current that just came out of the air, because they couldn't figure out how to charge for that. Well, I could put a meter on AC current because it's going through a wire. But actually, Tesla's electricity conduction was much better, and it was free. Well, society and commerce and the society of commerce and authoritative people at that time couldn't have that. This was much too valuable just to give away.
Oh, no, I totally get it.
And
so our perception is being altered all the time.
All the time.
All the time. You know, I was, as I say, I was watching Eric McCormick do his schizophrenic number. He does it very well, by the way. And I was thinking of Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind, and how he actually, Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind ends up managing his hallucinations. They're actually show up as friends. And McCormick actually uses his hallucinations. He feels that the hallucination is a fragment of his mind trying to instruct him in something, which I thought was interesting, because he's using his hallucinations to help him solve crimes. And so when he has a hallucinatory figure show up, that hallucinatory figure is trying to let him know something. So that's interesting, because his perception is that everything is there to give him a message or a lesson. Now, that's an interesting perception, don't you think? Because in a sense, I think that's what life is. It's here to give us a lesson. And
you and I
have been going through some really challenging stuff that I consider spiritual lessons. And it's like every time I notice we have to go through something challenging with the jobs that we're working on or something of that nature, sometimes I think I just can't stand it. And then the next thing I notice is that all of a sudden I've like popped into another space. What's changing? My perception of what it is that we're doing. And I'm taking a look here at what's going on in the United States. I don't know. There's supposed to be some big press conference on the 17th of this month that will change the perception of the presidency. Have you heard about that? The sheriff, I think, in Arizona. That's going to expose the birth certificate and things of that nature. Have you heard about this at all?
Which sheriff? Are you speaking of Sheriff Mack?
No, I was trying to remember
the
guy's name. I was listening to him last night. He's putting on a press conference on the 17th. He's been to the Hawaiian Islands, and he says he has total proof that the president's documents are forgeries. Okay, we've had a perception that this man is our president, okay? And maybe is and maybe isn't, you know? And we'll see what happens when the final facts come in. Whether you like how he's doing the job or not, he's called Mr. President. But is he created a perception? I don't know.
He has. It's just, you used a word changing perception a while ago. And it's constantly changing because of the information or what the senses are feeding back to you. So So that perception could be changed. Just for example, we perceived we have a president, but one little tiny piece of information, known as a birth certificate, could change that entire perception with conclusive, without guessing anymore. It'd be conclusive, and then our perception then now would shift to another, what I would just call another reality.
Yeah, I think so too. And we would have to, based on the information and the understanding. You know, we're talking earlier. Adrian Pusey, I'm saying this to you. I am so sorry I didn't follow up on our friendship. Adrian Pusey and I lived in a house in Hobart District in the 1970s. And Adrian was an art curator, and she moved to San Francisco. And I just had so much fun with her. She was always playing great music and doing all this stuff. And for years, I lived inside the perception that I would somehow get to San Francisco and I would find Adrian and we would recreate those old times. So this little story has been going on for about 40 years now. So I finally got, gosh darn it, it seems like I'm never going to get to San Francisco. I should look for Adrian. So I did and found out she died in 2003. That thing that really rotted my socks was that she died here in Los Angeles. So this whole time I had the perception that Adrian was in San Francisco and somehow I would find her again and we would play music and sing songs and do the stuff that we did in the 70s. And no, so I finally mourned her in 2012 when she had died in 2003 of some diabetes-related thing. I wish she'd known about Protandin then. She was a great, great, great human being and I just loved her dearly. And I realized that I'd been walking around kind of holding my image of Adrian, and she was no longer here. And then this week I decided it was time to start writing my blog, you know. So I'd had Bill Austin had been sweet and said, anytime you're ready to write your blog, you call me, I'll help you, we'll get you published, right? Bill Austin died last year. I called up to get Bill Austin's help. And Bill Austin was gone, and it's just like, how much fantasy do we live in, CW? And when we don't educate ourselves and we don't find out what's going on in the world, what are we living inside of?
Well, it's like everybody's living in a bubble that is, you only have so much information that comes into you because your perception of things will either disallow in a form of a shield or what may look like protection of you getting that information or getting that feeling or keeping what you have. I was just thinking of a good example of perception would be if I was to say to you if I was to give you three colors, red, white, and blue.
Okay.
What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of the red, white, and blue?
I think of an American flag.
You bet. Now, if you're in England, if I'm in England and I say red, white, and blue, what do you think they're going to
think? I think of the British flag.
Exactly. Now, if I'm in the Middle East and I think of red, white, and blue, what am I going to be thinking of?
You know, I don't know who's got red, white, and blue over there. I might think of American aggressors.
Bingo. You see, so it depends on your environment. It depends on the information that you have. See, people in England are fed different information in that it's visual. So you got you get the visual of, well, that's my Union Jack, red, white, and blue. And you're in the Middle East and you say red, white, and blue, oh, the dirty Americans.
Right, scumbags.
Okay. Because of the information. So it's amazing how three words can have a perceptual value to different people, depending on what, and so it boils down to, it depends on your environment, it depends on what you've been fed as far as information, it depends on experience. There's so many things that come together and develop them. I mean, your psychologists talk about it, and they talk about the five senses, the sight, hearing, touch, smell, taste, and so forth. And that's good, but it's what's feeding that? What's feeding the mind at that time?
Your experience is part of what's feeding it.
I just mentioned that. But part of it is your experience. part of is media driven. I say, in fact, a big, not part of it, a big part of it is media driven. The media says something, and we tend to believe it or perceive it to be true, or we start forming our own opinions. And, I mean, it's no secret that the media has is also controlled by higher powers in many cases. But the media can drive and create illusions or hallucinations that we perceive to be true. And this is why I said early on that, in a way, it's like false evidence appearing
real.
You're
right on. I get this. I get what you're saying. You know, I'm thinking about in terms of in Los Angeles County, the number of deaths by policemen grew by 70% last year. 70% increase in death by policemen. What was going on for those policemen that they felt that they had to protect or shoot or do whatever it was that changed from the year before? And it was up the year before, too, but 70% was huge, okay? So they're perceiving something. And when you take a look at the actual crime statistics, crime is down. Kidnapping is down, murder is down, all of this. So what are they perceiving that's making it more dangerous for them when the circumstances are actually less dangerous?
Well, once again, this is something that is media-driven. You're given just enough information to report on something, but not enough information to say, well, why'd that happen? Crime's down. How is it that it starts to not make sense? But what it will do, depending on what part of Los Angeles you're in, it'll give a perception that we have a police state mentality or a dictatorial mentality by police enforcement. But in other areas, it might say, okay, well, they're cleaning up an area or something.
You
can go from one extreme to another.
We got 70% increase in 1 year in death by policemen. It tells me something is going on there. I don't know what it is. It seems to me like maybe the police are more scared or something.
Of course there's something going on there. But exactly what you asked the right question. What is it? And that's what people fail to do when they start developing this perception. They don't ask why that's happening. They don't try and search it out. They immediately form an opinion. They start forming an opinion based on the information that they've received. So they got this perception now from the opinion that was created due to that information given.
Or maybe the perception is we can't do anything. One of the things that just popped into my mind, CW, is I understand there's going to be a UN vote or something of that nature in Congress on some UN bill saying that Americans can't carry guns. Have you heard about that?
This has been going on for a number, probably since Obama took office, and this has been floating around. And I don't see how, and this could be a perception or opinion, I don't see how the United Nations can create law for this great country of ours. There's only one thing that can create law in this great country of ours, and that's the people. And the people are represented by Congress. So it's only
Well,
Congress
we know what we think of Congress.
Law. Yeah, for me, don't get me started, because I think
a bunch of kiss butts, okay?
Yeah, they are. Because they have the power to fix a lot of the stuff that we see what's going on in the media, and some of the things we see going on in the media, we perceive to be extremely bad for us because they take us down, they take us into a direction that we don't want to be in. And so we perceive it as to be very, very bad. Now, Congress has the ability to correct this stuff.
This is where
feeding the right information to the people is critical, because people feel they can't do anything about it. Well, I'm not in Washington. You know, I'm just one person. You know, there's 300 million one persons in here. Believe me, if 300 million one person stand up and say the same thing, guess what? It'll happen. But if 300 million one persons don't, and they let 500 people, persons, stand up for them and say something, whether they, when they're supposed to be representing them, and they do some, the 300 persons don't like, well, it's our fault. And I've always said that. If we
right.
don't stand up and do something, it's our fault.
I think it's time for a cup of Jason Winter tea. What do you think?
I'm ready, but I'm a bit embarrassed this morning. I don't have any with me.
Well, have a sip of mine.
So shame on me. Take
you
a sip
me.
For me.
I'm a
you
one-trick
know.
Pony here. I'm a peach tree. I've tried the rest, and I'm sorry, it's peaches. It's you look at the back, you see zero calories. That's a good thing. You see that there's red clover, Indian sage leaf, oolong tea, natural flavor, and spices. Now, that sounds pretty nice. That's a good-tasting tea, but hey, it's working on your immune system. It's working on all kinds of stuff.
I got a neat little success story.
Yeah?
You remember how hot it's been over the last week and a half across
yes.
the entire nation? I had a couple of people send me an email last week. They had bought some Jason Winter's tea, and they were dealing with their mom and dad and overcoming the heat. They actually took the tea, like I've always talked about during how to turn into ice cubes, then brew it and put it over the ice cubes and share it with them. That helped cool them down.
I wonder what would happen if
Jason Winter's tea helped cool the person down because you had the coolness of the ice. Plus, it also gave the nutrients or the benefits of that great tea formula, to assist them with, like you said, with their immune system and to just keep things going in their body, help keep hydrated. Isn't that cool?
I got one of our listeners called and said that they didn't get their copy of What If. So have we got all those sent out?
To my knowledge, they've all been sent out, but I'll tell you what, when I get back into the office on Monday, I'll make sure that I'll double-check them all. Or what you can do is you can send me the address of the person, and I'll make sure I'll match it up with the records and make sure that it did go out.
Oh, that's great. So, if you'd like a copy of What If, send an email to Val at wakingupinamerica.com. Once again, Val at wakingupinamerica.com. And while we're on it, I know you've been having a few health challenges this week. I was incredibly tired, and I was wilting like a leaf, and then I took my Protandin. And I love this stuff, and I know that it's been really helpful with you too. And Protandin takes your blood back to the effectiveness that your blood had at the age of 20. And the truth of the matter is, I can see my skin changing. I've been on it now about 6 months. My skin was getting all saggy, and I think the collagen is getting re-stimulated or something like that, CW. And I have these amazing days where I can work till 10 or, get up at 5 or 6 and work till 10 or 11 at night. And
so it has some
Protandin
healthy cosmetic
that.
Benefits as well?
Pardon?
It has healthy cosmetic benefits as well?
Yeah. About a year ago, I looked at my arms. I held my arm up, and I don't know if people haven't gotten older yet. At a certain point, you start to lose collagen. And when you start to lose collagen, then you start to gain wrinkles. And I would hold my arm up and it would be sagging, okay? Now, I've still got some little wrinkles there, but it's about one-tenth of what it was when I started before. So instead of getting older, I'm getting younger again, and I appreciate Protandin because part of what it's doing is it's filling in for depletion, and people don't just age, they get depleted, and certain organs and stop manufacturing what they did before, and Protandin stimulates all of that, and I'm just totally grateful. So I know you've had some good luck with it too.
I have had good luck with it. It's helped stabilize my sugars and diabetes. And when I say that it stabilized, it's not the only thing a diabetic can depend on. You still need to do all the other right things, but sometimes you have problems in keeping your sugar stabilized no matter what you're doing. And I found out that and it took me a while. It took you a long time to get me onto this. and once I did, I discovered that it helped stabilize my sugars. Now, my sugars will still go up and down depending on my diet, my activities, and exercise and so forth. But it's more stabilized because before I was going anywhere from 120 to all the way up to, 200, and it doesn't have that kind of fluctuation anymore. Now, of course, I have changed a little bit more in my life. It's a lifestyle change with diabetics, but the Protandim has been a great, great help in stabilizing the sugars. I don't know if it would work for everybody, but it did work for me. It does work for me.
Very good. So you should hop over to our website at Waking Up in America, and if you go on to the right hand side of this page, it says thanks to our sponsors, and you can click on the Protandim link, which is the second one down. And you can also give me a call at 310-455-8623 if you need some help with some of this, because this stuff makes a difference and is very reasonably priced. I think it's like $50, $60 a month, depending upon how you spend it. It's one pill a day, and I like it a lot. You can also see the Tim Turner seminars and the Marketing with the Stars. That's a really good marketing thing. And down in beautiful San Pancho, Mexico, there's Roberto's Bungalow. So we got a lot of good stuff here. The Shift Network, you can actually get a Peace Ambassadors program through them, which I highly, highly, highly recommend. You're on the air with Waking Up in America, Our American Cafe, T.W. Wright and Dr. Val Kirkgaard here. And we're talking about perception today. And earlier, before the program, I mentioned something about how marijuana changes perception. And you said, does it change it, Val? Or what did you say?
Well, I think what we said, we were talking about altering perception. Does it alter your perception, or does it increase your perception? And then we went on to say the answer is actually in the question, and because, of course, it increases your perception by altering it, and it alters it by mellowing you out, and it allows you to focus a little bit better, or it just allows you to open up that sense, what would be that sensory,
I guess we would call it awareness, huh?
Awareness?
It takes the emotional content out of awareness, and it hooks you up with serotonin for a lot of people. You know, I was thinking about perception here. We have I have the mission for the Republic for the United States of America. Now, we have a perception that we can't We can't do anything about what's going on because it's just overwhelming and the government is too corrupt and this and that and the other thing. And yet, I have a statement here. This mission of the Republic for the United States of America, and it says, we the people hereby terminate the tyranny of financial slavery and unlawful presentment that binds us and bestow the favors of liberty and republic freedom by way of lawful means and peaceful assembly for all men and women under Almighty God. So, I was taking a look at, there was a congressman who sent out something. I disagreed with him on a bunch of the stuff that he was doing, but one of the things that he talked about was how you took a great country down. You keep calling America a great country. My perception is we have the possibility of being great, but I think we've lost our status in the world. And Jeff Daniels on Newsroom, have you seen that program yet?
I've seen bits and pieces. I've not seen a full...
Okay. Well, I'm going to highly recommend that our listeners Google for the Jeff Daniels speech from Newsroom. And it's when he's a guy who's trying to please everybody as a news broadcaster. And so if they ask him why America's great, he'll say because of the Jets, something like that. He doesn't want to take a position. And then an old girlfriend challenges him in the speech. And a woman asks him, why is America the greatest country in the world? And he tries to hedge around about it and not deal with the answer, CW. But the truth of the matter is, he goes in, it's not the greatest country in the world anymore. We're number 47 in this, and we're number this and that and the other thing. We could be the greatest country in the world, but we're not anymore. And I would have to agree with him, and a lot of people have. This show has hit big. Well, if it's not the greatest country in the world, what would it take to have it be the greatest country in the world? So a lot of people are living under the illusion where other countries are far ahead of us in other things than ever used to be. So we've slipped. We're on a slippery slope, and if we don't stand up and we don't start paying attention, we don't start educating ourselves, then we're headed for hell in a handbasket. That's my personal opinion. Any comments, sir?
Well, we have lost a lot, and I do say this is a great country, but we have lost a lot. We're way down the list on education. Our economy is no longer number one. The only thing that really keeps us ahead is really our GNP, our gross national product, and our output there. And, of course, we have a great military might that helps keep us number one because we're able to protect ourselves very well. But as long as we can maintain liberty and freedom, and I mean, by I say maintain, I mean on the path to healing and getting it back. As long as we're inching in that direction, this is still a great country because with that freedom and liberty, you will see us become number one again in economy. You will see us become number one again in education. You will see us become number one in family values. We've lost all of that due, once again, to authoritative figures talking about, they'll say things like some things are against the Constitution, or they outsource one too many things that takes away from our economy. This all can be fixed. It's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be quick, but it can be fixed.
Okay, but we live under the illusion that we have a two-party system, okay? This is not a two-party system. It doesn't matter who you vote for. The same crap gets in office anyway. Unless we get behind this republic for the United States of America and go through the growing pains that it takes to bring up this teenager again, being learning. I mean, any parent knows what it's like to learn. And as people have come together in the Republic, a lot of different people have showed up to take a stand. It's not just a two-party system. You know, we do have a choice. I have to tell you, when they call up, I always used to vote Democrat, okay? Well, not always. I voted Republican. Eisenhower was a Republican I respected. I know people would disagree with me on Reagan, but I actually liked the guy. I didn't agree with all of his choices. He was a Republican. Lincoln was a Republican who started this whole mess in the first place by saying to Congress, let's pretend we did, back in the 1860s. It's like, let's pretend we passed this thing and that nobody walked out. And we've been doing smoke and mirrors ever since the 1860s. So Mr. Lincoln, President Lincoln, I enjoyed you in many ways, but boy, did you open Pandora's box, you know? So we've been living in illusion ever since, as far as I'm concerned. The corporation in the United States of America, OMG.
It's amazing how we've gotten to this point. And you mentioned the key just a moment ago when you talked about the pain. It's going to take a tremendous amount of pain to fix this. We can't avoid it. However, therein lies the problem. We in our society here, we have gotten complacent and comfortable, and we will do anything to avoid pain. We will do anything to avoid pain, to the point where we will allow it to fall apart before we say, okay, we got to fix it. It's very possible. Here's a perception for you. It's very possible America could be on the brink of absolutely destruction as we know it. Before
it's probable. It's actually probable, okay?
It's very probable. Because it's very probable one day we'll wake up and say, what the heck happened?
I'm already saying it.
A lot of people already are. This is why the Republic is growing so great, because people are waking up and say, hey, you know, we got to do something about it. And it's being a slow transition to get 300 million people to think as one. And that's what it's going to take. All 300 million people are going to say, hey, I'm fed up.
Hey, I know this sounds like a non sequitur, But Dave hits. I knew that little boy since he was a twinkle in his parents' eyes, okay? He grew up to be a CEO of something called NetApp, okay, which is a computer storage company. He turned himself into a billionaire, this kid, by developing the most effective way of storing data for companies that needed to store large amounts of data. And he wrote a book called Castrating the Bull. And, of course, it got my attention because I wanted to know what was up about all of that. And what he talked about was part of, as he was being trained as an engineer, his part of the school that he went to was out in the desert. And the man that was running the school believed that everybody should have hands-on work, too, and they should learn how to take risks in life. So they were given a pen knife and told to get into a pen and castrate the bull, and that's where that comes from. With a pen knife? Yes. Now, here's what's interesting about this. Dave took this, and he turned this experience of learning how to castrate the bull into jumping into the business world, and he has a very interesting point of view. So I highly recommend his book, Castrating the Bull. And when he talks about what it is to be a CEO and how you have to take risks and the different things that you need to do to have a company that works, he also talks about how what works at one time in your life doesn't work at another, depending upon what you're developing. So there's a perception requires flexibility and evolution, okay, as what we've been talking about today. My idea of Adrian had to evolve. She wasn't there to be met in San Francisco anymore. She was gone. Bill Austin is gone. God bless you both. And thank you for the contributions that you brought to this planet. But my perception for me to be effective has to evolve. So you have to put yourself in a situation where you can actually evolve perception. And one of the ways you can do that is by going to the Republic Roundtable, which is on Thursday evenings at 6 p.m. Pacific. And you call in 712-432-0075. That's 712-432-0075. And you put in the access code of 594637#. And guess what? You'll find out that there is something going on in America. You'll actually find out that there are people learning how to work with mortgage companies and how to bring them to terms and to honesty. And there's just, we've lived in such a sea of corruption that we don't even have a perception of what's there. And I'll tell you what's missing for me is God in all of this. This is a country formed under God, CW, and I can't find God much anywhere. God's been taken off the currency. God's been taken out of our courthouses. How does a country formed under God lose God?
Well, We will never lose God. Well, what we do is end up ignoring God. And that's what's happening. We're ignoring God. Once again, this is media-driven. This is authoritative-driven. And they state to be fair and equal. And believe me, there's nothing fair and equal about ignoring God. You want a surefire way to destroy something or have something not grow? Ignore God. If you don't believe that, remember the story about how his people roamed the desert for 40 years?
Uh-huh.
They ignored God. And the reason why they had to roam the desert then for 40 years is to rid them of all those people who were ignoring them. So it took 40 years or a couple of generations of roaming through the desert to fix that. Now, look what's happened over the last two or three generations. We've done just the opposite. We didn't fix it. We started ignoring God. And I got to tell you.
Oh, I think God was conscientiously disappeared. I think it was done very methodically by some master plan, the one to take away the freedom of the people. See, one of the things that has to happen, you find this out in psychology. I'll tell you, there's a secret about what happy people have that unhappy people don't have. Guess what that might be?
God.
Well, close, okay? Happy people have a sense of something bigger than themselves. That's why AA works, okay? Higher power. If you take away a higher power from people, whether you call it God or Buddha or whatever you call it, and you make the person just relating to themselves, they're extremely easy to manipulate. If there's a higher power or a higher vision that we live into, you not so much. So there's been a conscientious attempt to remove higher power. You know, I place this in your hands, Lord. Okay, that kind of thing. We're supposed to remove all of that so there's nobody's hands to place it in just but ourselves. And it isn't just about ourselves. It's about a bigger plan. It's about being part of something larger. It's about being a part of a community. It's about being a member of that community, about acting inside of that community and setting the vision and values of that community. And our vision and values is what Jeff Daniels talks about in Newsroom. Really, Google that, you guys, because it's a doozy of a speech, and his figures are right on. That, I'm trying to remember, I think it's Ellen Sorokin that's writing Newsroom. I'm just breathtaking. I've seen three of the episodes now at the level of honesty and information and watching the character arc. Do you know what a character arc is, CW?
No. Is that
okay,
something
character
that
arc loves? Is a thing in screenwriting, okay?
Okay.
And so what happens is as you go through a screenplay or something like that, the main character is supposed to somehow evolve, okay, in value. So we have Jeff Daniels, who was trying to please everybody, now taking the gauntlet and going out there and really nailing the truth and taking the risks and, you know, being threatened to be fired and all this kind of stuff. But now he's alive for the first time in years. So we actually have to take a gauntlet about what we believe in or something stronger than we are or a larger community. It's like when I get together with in Riverside or in Visalia or Sacramento with members of the Republic, they're the best people I have known in my life. I love these people, whether I agree with them all the time or not. It's irrelevant. There's something bigger there. Maybe somebody
there is,
says a prayer.
There is something bigger there. There is something bigger there. And we need to recognize that there is. And we need to recognize that this country was built on those values. And believe me when I say, I don't care what people do in their home. I really don't. But as we, as immigrants of from all over the world coming to this great nation, where it was founded on these, on a belief system, this should not change in today's world. Just because I'm coming, I'm immigrating, and I'm bringing my belief system, now I'm trying to impose it onto this society. You change America's perception on how it got started to a different reality, you will no longer have America.
Well, I think we're already losing in America, and I was thinking
we
when
are.
You were talking, what was coming through my mind is, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of all things, visible and invisible, you know?
And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that belief. But what we need to be careful of is the media and our authorities, they stand behind, well, you're allowed to do whatever you want to do, and they call it religion or they call it something different. But the fact is, doesn't matter how what you believe in and or what God you believe in, it was how this country was built, and that's the way this country needs to be ran, because without that foundation, you, we, and everybody else in what I call this great nation will not have freedom, will not have liberty, and will be under some other type of rule that you won't like. That's why I said one day we're going to wake up and say, you know, what happened?
Already, I woke up about 10 years ago and said, huh, what happened, okay? I was actually asked to be a program director for the people that were doing, not paying their taxes. Do you remember that? People started not paying their taxes because they said it was illegal that they were being taxed the way they were. which, by the
way,
it is.
That's a whole other show.
It's a whole other show. Nonetheless, that was in the mid-90s, and I was asked to be a program director, and at the time I said, I really don't want the FBI over at my house and things like that, and I don't want to, there's not enough people that know about this yet. I don't really want to do jail time.
See, now,
you know
here
what?
You go. Here's a perception that was put, that you developed a perception based on whether information that was fed to you, whether it be from media, through threat, through your peer group, saying, oh, you're going to go to jail if you start talking about that stuff. And so you developed a perception or an opinion, which in some cases could be one of the same thing, of what could possibly be or what a reality would be if you were to choose to do that.
Not only that, I created a strategy to survive.
A strategy to survive.
Okay, and inside the strategy to survive, I wanted to make sure that I was perceived correctly, okay?
Now, do you see, well, yeah, you did, but do you see how, and we talked about this earlier, do you see how you moved away from pain, but yet still tried to get the message across? I don't want to go there. That's way too painful.
What I started telling you about, I kind of lost it with David's book, Castrating the Bull. One of the things that he said was when they were creating computer programs and things of that nature, if they didn't solve somebody's pain, nothing happened with them.
That's right. That's right. In fact, if we have any true salespeople out there listening today, they understand that concept of pain. What they do, they find the pain or that threshold of pain within a customer, and they concentrate on that and solve that problem with whatever service they are providing, product or service they're providing. Because if you can solve a person's pain for them without them really experiencing it, you have to first let them experience it in their mind, then say, hey, look, here's the solution. So,
well, I'll tell you something really
interesting. We have the solution for pain in America. We just got to get people to thinking about that threshold and make it that pain a painless event. Now, if we wait too long, it will not be painless. It's going to be painful for everybody. And it's already starting to be painful for some.
I went shopping at the 99-cent store last night. Okay? Now, there's an interesting experience in perception because a lot of people that I know go, oh, and I was one of them too, 99-cent store, that's just a bunch of crap over there. Not quite. I got some Hormel salami for a fair amount of it for 99 cents. I got some other things for 99 cents. I got some Yardley soap, sells for $5 or $6 a bar. They sell it at the 99-cent store for 99 cents. So there's a perception of what a good thing is, i.e. the Yardley soap. There's a perception that if I go into the Pacific Palisades to buy that soap, I'll pay $6 for that soap. At the 99-cent store, I'll pay a dollar something. And what I've discovered is that by shopping the Lost Leaders and things like that, I bought chickens last night for 69 cents a piece at one store, or 69 cents a pound.
Did you say when you shop at the 99-cent store, you pay a dollar something for?
You pay it when you pay the tax. The point is that the perception is this is a good product, which it is. Yardley stuff is great product. The perception is you have to pay a lot for that. And yet I'm paying 1/6 of what I used to pay for that. So even though I'm earning less than I used to earn, there's a quality to my life in some ways when I look out that's actually superior to what it was before. The perception is you've lost something, and the reality is if you look, you may find out what you lost easier and better someplace else. No?
Yeah, you just struck a really neat economical perception, because there's a perception in this world, and I think it's all over the world. If I have car A and car B, and car A cost $50,000 more than car B, then it must be a much better car. And since I do have the money, or I want a better car, I'm going to go ahead and pay that. Now, that's a perception. That's really a false perception. And just because you pay more for something, it's better. Yeah,
unless it's a Porsche, okay.
Well, you could get a Bugatti Veyron. That's $1 million car.
Have you been in a Boxster? Have you been out in a Boxster? A Porsche
I don't
Boxster?
Even like Barbara. I don't like Barbara Boxster.
I took a ride in a Porsche Boxster. It's the ride
oh,
of my life. Okay. They can have an extra $50,000 from me when I have it. I got driven by a Porsche driver through Beverly Hills in a Porsche Boxster. He was a
oh,
team
yeah?
racer for Porsche. The drive of my life, okay? The drive of my life. And I tell you, a Toyota Prius wouldn't have done it. But I understand what you're talking about. I totally do.
I would like to clarify something I just said. I said I didn't like Barbara Boxer. I don't know Barbara Boxer. I just don't like some of the things that she does.
You think you're going to save yourself with that?
Well, I'm trying. I don't want
I know.
I
can see
it. Some personal attack on Barbara Boxer, and the guy doesn't even know it. And that would be true. So I didn't want to. I wanted to clarify. It's not a personal attack on her. I don't know her. She's probably a great lady. I don't like some of the things that she does in the political arena for our people.
I could comment on that, but I won't because I agree
seconds.
With
you. Yeah, I think I'll shut up. I'm going to get in trouble.
He told us we only have 90 seconds left, and we're having so much fun this morning. So in the last 90 seconds, there's a lot of great people out there. And we don't like things, all of the things that those great people do, and we give you a chance to redeem yourselves because change your perception and get that what the people want and what the people aren't looking for is a perception of America as great again, a perception of God. And what can the audience do? Act or you will be acted upon. I wrote that down. Act or you will be acted upon. Stand up and say something or you will be acted upon. It's happening. Make sure that check out the 17th of
seconds.
July and let's find out how this whole thing works. This program has been brought to you by Kirkgaard Media, our radio partners, KoningCompany.com,
40 seconds.
Dr. James Murphy and Memoriam, DrBowery.com, and Doctor is all spelled out. We thank our sponsor, C.W. Wright of Emergency Management Solution, Sir
30.
Jason Winter T, and Protandon and Mercy Boku to Bent Migan for our theme music, Almost Ordinary People. Next week, invite a friend to listen. Write us at val@wakingupinamerica.com, and remember, Sidious, Altius, Fortius, and do a mitzvah today. That's French for give someone a boast. Thanks for listening.
And who we see when we see each other. This is for all. This is for all the time you tried to find your sister or your brother. And you're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all you knew, pouring through, now your heart is open.